But turning your Bibles quickly to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Last week, if you weren't here, we talked about what it looks like to be all for Jesus. And all for Jesus, Galatians 2:20. What does it look like to live a crucified life? Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Last week, we talked about what does it look like to live that crucified life? And how does this even pertain to the heart of missions? Well, the idea is that the whole Word of God is about redemption, right? I mean, go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Remember, I had the leopard skin or cow skin or deer skin or whatever it was skin last that I had last week. I mean, Jesus, God covered Adam and Eve's sin. So God's desire from the very beginning is to redeem you and I. You go all the way through the Scripture. It's all about redemption, redemption, redemption. And so that's the heart. And so as we talked last week about some of the innards, talked about crucifying self, crucifying flesh, crucify the influence of the world. We went through that in Galatians. If you missed that message, I really, really encourage you to go back and listen to it. Today, I want to talk about the response, the outflow of that crucified life, the outflow of living a life all for Jesus. What does that look like? The results of a crucified life. And in order to introduce this, I want to go to one of our very popular missions emphasis scriptures, and that's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and this is what he says. He says, guys, listen, I got a great commission for you to accomplish. I've got a mission for you to accomplish. Here's the deal. I'm going to endue you with power, and you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses where? Witnesses. You'll minister. You'll be my witnesses. What does that mean, witnesses? He's empowering us not just to have great worship services on Sunday morning, though we hope we do. He's empowering us not just so that we can feel the power and Holy Ghost goosebumps every once in a while. Wow, God's really here. This is awesome. Though we like that. He's empowering us so that we can witness. He's empowering us so that we can minister. The Holy Spirit's going to come and empower us. And when Jesus went up, he sent the Holy Spirit. This is the whole Acts chapter 2 thing, right? The day of Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit's here to empower us. What's he going to empower us to do? To be witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth, the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's talk about our Jerusalem. How's that going? Some of you are like, Scott, we're actually in Middlebury. We're not in Jerusalem. What's this all about? Well, go back to the original text. Jesus was saying, wait here in Jerusalem, where all of you are, because I want you to minister here in Jerusalem. And we saw that. So here, let me just toss this out. How are you and I doing at ministering here in our local community? I know we're talking a lot about going to the ends of the earth. We got these posters up all over, and we got different faces and different people, and I love this. But what about right here in Middlebury, in Elkhart County, LaGrange County? What about this whole region? How are we doing in everyday sharing the love of Christ? Because all of us, in a sense, are called to live a missional life, right? Every one of us are called to be a light in the midst of darkness. So how are we doing? Some of you I know, you're just like, Scott, the whole personal evangelism thing just makes me really uncomfortable. I know, I've had some of you tell me, Scott, I went out on one of those Revive Indiana teams about 6 years ago. You know those kinds where you just walk out and you cold cock people, you're just like with the gospel, and you just like walk up to them and it's just like, and you just share the gospel, and you're like, Scott, I asked Jesus if he would never make me do that again. You're laughing because many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you, though, are like, I wish I could do that every day, all day, because it's like, it's so part of the giftedness that God's given you. Whether you feel like I'm so nervous when it comes to sharing my faith with others, or whether you're like, man, I could lead a tree to Jesus. I mean, it's like, your limbs look a little limp today. Your leaves are falling. Do you know there's hope in Jesus? And wherever you're at in the evangelism, personal evangelism, let me just tell you, God has called all of us, every one of us, to minister here in our Jerusalem. How's it going? Lee Strobel, he's an amazing author, used to be a Chicago Tribune, I believe, the reporter, that's it. And he's written several books now since he's come to Jesus, The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ. And he shared something that I thought, man, I've shared this a million times, I'm going to share it again. But he talks about living with the evangelistic edge. That means you may not be Billy Graham. You may not be the person who's like, Revive Indiana, woo! But every one of us ought to be living with the evangelistic edge, meaning every day our antenna are up, if you will. It's like, how can I share the love of Jesus with somebody today? Who is in my sphere? Who is in my workplace that I see on a regular basis? Who is the person that I bump into on a regular basis that God has put me? You see, some of you, you might even have a new job today. And I want to tell you something. That new job isn't just about you making money. That new job is your new assignment from the Lord. The Holy Spirit wants to anoint you, to empower you to reach your Jerusalem. Evangelistic edge. What does this look like? Well, when you're living with that evangelistic edge, your prayer life gets a little more fervent because you're praying for people to find Jesus and specific people. In fact, I encourage you, who are 3 to 5 people? I'd love to say that I pray for these 3 to 5 people every day, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a pastor. Stand up in church. I'm not going to lie. I don't pray for these people every day, but there are always 3 to 5 people that on a regular basis I bring before the Lord. I say, Lord, use me. Use me to touch. One of those people that I prayed for over 10 years just got saved last year. Don't give up. Start praying. Keep praying. And let's believe God, because God can do it. Amen? God can do it. So who's on your list? Who are you praying for? When you're living with that evangelistic edge, that's what you're doing. How about this one? Your worship becomes more heartfelt because you're worshiping the one who is the God who gives the second chance. Hello? When you're living with the evangelistic edge, your Bible study comes, your devotions time, it becomes more than just, I want to learn this or dive into this theology. It's like, I got to have some answers because people are asking me questions. I got to know, how do I answer this? When someone asks, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? How do I respond to that? Because it's a wall between them and finding Christ. When you're living with that evangelistic edge, you're living under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are like, man, I want to be so full. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. God, would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? And we need to pray that. But for some of us, when's the last time you did anything, you stepped out and did anything that required the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? I mean, just really think about that. When was the last time you really did something that's like, man, God, if your power doesn't come and fill me and help me to do this, I'm gonna fall flat on my face. You know what I found is in those times where I feel most empowered by the Holy Spirit, when God comes and he bless, you know, let's just leave it at that. Let's be committed to being people who everywhere we go, we're living out the life of Jesus, and I want people to see Jesus in me, and I will vocalize my faith when the opportunity avails itself, and I'm going to talk about Jesus, and I'm going to introduce people to Jesus. I'm going to be like Joe. I heard a story this week about Joe. Joe was a wino. He was an alcoholic. He was a drunk, and he came into one of those missions that are like downtown in the cities, and he got saved. He gave his life to Christ, radically just turned his life around. He was so blessed by the Lord that he gave the rest of his life, every spare minute he had, he served there in that mission. And he served what would happen is they would give people a warm place to sleep and a warm meal. And so he year after year after year, and there were some regulars that would come in after, kind of like the Otis type from Andy Griffith, you know, that there were regulars that come in there. So I need to watch more Andy Griffith. Come on. Otis would come in and he'd help himself on in there. And so they'd come in and they'd get the meal, whatever. But they always knew they had to listen to the chaplain preach before they could get their warm meal. And so so one day another guy came in, and of course Joe was there and helping others. But this other guy came in for whatever reason, that drunk came into the mission. He's waiting to eat his meal. Chaplain's preaching the gospel. And the Holy Spirit moved on this guy's heart. And when the altar call was given, the guy came down, he knelt, and he started praying at the top of his lungs, half drunk, half sincere, saying, oh, I just want to be like Joe. God, make me like Joe, make me like Joe, make me like Joe, make me like Joe. And so the chaplain went over and said, you know, Joe's a great guy, but don't you think you should be praying, oh, make me like Jesus, make me like Jesus, make me like Jesus. And the drunk guy that just was coming forward in the altar, he looked up and he said, is he like Joe? You get what I'm saying? Let's be like Jesus. Let's say, if someone follows you to the T, oh, you're not perfect, but would they be a follower of Jesus? I mean, if they hung around you and followed the way you live, would they find Jesus? That ought to be our heart's desire in our Jerusalem. How are we doing ministry in our Jerusalem? Man, we through your missions giving, we give to places like Retta, Reason Enough to Act, the Spa Women's Ministry, Adult and Teen Challenge right here in Elkhart, Indiana, the Crossing, Middlebury Food Pantry, Chaplain Corey Martin, who's the chaplain for the Elkhart County Jail, Chi Alpha, right in our backyard at Notre Dame, is college campus ministry at Notre Dame. We support Tim and Melissa Kern there. Of course, one of our own, Jason Brooks, is the senior chaplain now for the Elkhart Police Department. We are investing in local ministries here, but the greatest investment is sitting in these chairs right here. The greatest investment is your life lived out for Jesus every single day of your life. Let's move on. How about this? Judea and Samaria. Judea and Samaria, what does this mean? So imagine you're sitting in Jerusalem and you're thinking, Jesus says, I'm going to empower you to go to your Judea and Samaria. That's the region around where they were at. And for us, I would take it to mean even our state or maybe even our nation. These are people that maybe we have connection with geographically, but maybe even socially and whatever, it's just kind of a different culture. You know what I'm saying? What are we doing to reach these people through the local church? Let me tell you, everything we do ought to be done through the local church. Everything we do, whether it's over halfway across the world or whether it's right here in this community, it ought to be connected and out of the local church. So how are we doing? What are we doing? One of our strategic missions partners, I told you we have three of them. Mission of Hope's one of them. Jay Covert and Urban Outreach is another one of them. Now, Jay Covert has planted churches all over the United States, and they're getting ready to start another one in Indianapolis. They have one in Cleveland, New Orleans, Albuquerque. They have one in Denver. They have, did I say New Orleans yet? They have one in Washington, D.C., East St. Louis, St. Louis. They have them all over. But we've been a part almost since day one of the Urban Outreach in planting churches. It looks different than this church here, but planting churches in the inner cities around the United States. So these are places that geographically we're connected to, but they're going and they're being the hands and feet of Jesus, and they're bringing the gospel and discipling people. And let me just encourage you with a thought here. Every church might look a little differently than ours. And this is the thought when it comes to Judea and Samaria. It's particularly Samaria. Because if you were a Jew in Jerusalem and God was telling you to go, Judea and Samaria, Samaria's, remember, the Samaritans were kind of half Jew, half Gentile, and most true Jews didn't really care for the Samaritans, you know, that type of a feel. But Jesus was saying, I want you to go there. These are people that culturally are a little different than you, but they need the gospel. And so so that's our heart. And what the amazing thing is God will use all kinds of different churches, but the church has to be preaching the gospel, right? The church has to have just the authority. I was just reading this morning about a church in Nashville that just decided the Bible's not the word of God. It's not the inspired word of God. And I don't know if you read that article that I read or not, and it's a rather large church. And I'm just thinking, why are you even, take the word church out of off of your thing. You're not a church, you're a club. Because if you don't have something that you're building your whole life and your church on, you're missing it. And so when Megan and I and the kids were on vacation last September, and we ended up in the hills of Tennessee going to a King James only Baptist church with just a piano and a song leader with a hymnal and a and it was a great message though, but you know, singing hymns only and in the holy. In the hills of Tennessee, that was working. I can tell you the church was pretty full. I think about this friend of mine who rebuked some of us, and rightfully so, I received it. I say a friend. I went to college with him, know him from a distance. But he pastors a kind of a cool church in Long Island. And, you know, they're about, what, 45 minutes, an hour from New York City. It's just a completely different feel, say, than Horse and Buggy, Middlebury, Indiana. I don't know if that means anything to you or not. But often I'll joke about the pastors that wear skinny jeans and their services got the smoke coming out and the lights. And this is about as skinny jean as I get. You get my age, you get stretchy jeans. No skinny here, stretchy. And so I'll poke fun sometimes at the skinny jeans wearing, you know, they got the mullet is almost backwards now. It's like the mullet long, length is on the top now, and then it's turned to the side. And, you know, they got their cool, and I'll make fun of them a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, he rebuked us, and I receive it. Because, you know, in their culture, where they're at, you know, honestly, that's working for them. You know, that's, if they're preaching the gospel, people are being saved and discipled, that's the key. So our goal, though, is how can we help start more churches and see the kingdom established in a greater way in our region and in our nation, our Judea and our Samaria? How are we doing at that? Man, we support Chi Alphas. Again, college campus ministries all over every major campus here in the state of Indiana. We have people going to the U.S. prisons, Bob Holyfield. In fact, Josh and Mandy Havlin now have teamed up with Bob Holyfield, and they're going into the prison systems, ministering in there. We support them. We have Indiana Advance is starting churches all over the state of Indiana. Some of you might remember Messianic, Jew Rabbi Jack Zimmerman. He's been through several times. We support Jewish Voice as they take the gospel to a group of people that many of us might never bump into, but the Jewish folks. Of course, Urban Outreaches. And we even support ministries like MAPS RVers. Now, MAPS stands for Mission Something Placement Services. I don't know. But, you know, we support and have for almost 20 years. Now, some of you are going to be like, what's the big deal? Well, let me tell you the big deal. MAPS RVers. When we started our church and we decided we're going to build here, you might have heard the story that we had volunteers come out and park their RVs in our parking lot. At one time, we had 10 RVs out here just in the gravel, and they helped us get this all built up, the original facility. And there are people that have retired, and they've given the rest of their lives to travel from local church to local church to local church like ours to help them with their facilities. MAPS RVers, that's what they call them. It's a tremendous program. And when we had it, they didn't charge us a single penny. I mean, we didn't have to pay anything. It was amazing. In fact, I was thinking back through this this season, and I remember this picture of a certain little girl that I thought was kind of interesting. That is actually a picture of this stage right here. I think she was having a tough day that day. Can you go to the next one? There we go. Yeah, yeah. Who would have thought that that little girl, my daughter Ashton, would 20 years later be leading us in worship this morning, right? On that very stage. But yeah, so the MAPS, I had to throw that picture in there. That's one of my favorites, Ash. But that's literally this stage. These people we support with our missions money so they can go help local churches all around the United States. Now let's go to the final one and get that picture off so I don't get in too much trouble. End of the earth, ends of the earth. God's called us to go to the ends of the earth. You know, in the book of Acts, we see Philip and Peter. They went to, in a sense, Judea and Samaria. In fact, we talked about how Peter was at Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. You remember that message? Is it right after Christmas? That's another one you ought to listen to if you didn't hear it. But one of the first Gentile converts right there was Cornelius and all of the people that were at his house that day. And Peter went to them. And so Judea and Samaria. But who was the first one to really take it beyond that area? To go, what was the ends of the earth? Well, I'll be honest with you. When Megan and I were in Tanzania about 2 or 3 years ago, I'm pretty sure we were at the ends of the earth. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I mean, we went out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And I was like, this has to be the ends of the earth. And I'm sure of it. And you might remember 2 years ago or whatever, we... Soon after that, in 2018, we dug a well, paid to dig a well, started church, and they built a school and pastor's home. Praise God for that. God has called us just as much as he's called us here to our Jerusalem. He's called us to go to the ends of the earth. And we must take that seriously. In Acts chapter 13, you see it. They laid hands on the apostle Paul, and they sent them out. And that's the model that we continue to have today. Every missionary, every missions agency ought to be sent out by the local church. That's the way it was biblically, and that's the way we pray. We also provide. We give. And you know, Romans chapter 10, verse 14, look at this. Romans 10. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in, and how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching them, and how can they preach unless they are sent? Who's going to send them? The local churches are to send them. And that's why Last year, you gave $209,000 to home and foreign missionaries out of this church. You did that. God did that through you. That's why we invest so heavily in taking the gospel to our Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I think King James, I like that. The uttermost parts of the earth. I like that. The uttermost parts. Realize this. There are still places on the earth that have yet to hear the name of Jesus. And God is sending us to go. He's calling us to go. What's our response today? Biggest response is this. Three things. You've heard me say this before. We need to pray. I'm going to go down on the floor, Murray, so if you want to follow. We need to pray. One of the things we must do is we must pray. In the prayer meeting that we had this past Wednesday night, I just felt once again that the Lord just lay on my heart. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Scott, how do I pray for a missionary? One of the easiest things you can do is this, Lord, surround them with laborers, with harvesters. God, and use us. You send us, use those that are there in the country. Give them a heart's desire to come alongside these pastors and these missionaries, these others, to help reach them. We need to pray. The other thing is we need to go. We need to go. In fact, thinking about prayer, though, in the back of your seats, I've already mentioned there's a half sheet of all the missionaries we support on a monthly basis. I'd encourage you to take that, stick it in your Bible, wherever you'll see it regularly, but just choose one. Some of you may love to just sit there and just pray over every name, every missionary. Go for it. But what if you just chose one person? And this year, from now till next February, what if you just prayed? If you'd like their contact information, we could connect you with that. They're really busy. Doesn't mean you'll always hear back from them. But if you'd like to just send them words of encouragement, whether you ever hear back from them or not, let us know. We'll connect you. But what if you just chose one missionary, maybe even as a family, when you sat down around dinner time, from time to time you mentioned, Lord, I pray for the Beans in Slovakia. Lord, I pray for Bob Holyfield going into the prisons of America. Whoever it is, just choose one of them. We pray and we go. God is calling us to go. We go here in our Jerusalem every day. Maybe God wants to put his hand on a few of you here this morning to go and be missionaries. Maybe when we talk about a place where the gospel has never even been preached before, you're like, man, you just come alive. Maybe that's what God might be calling you to. Or maybe there's a place where it once was preached, like all of much of Europe, but the gospel, it's just dead. Churches are dead. Maybe God's calling you there to bring a revival. We have several missionaries that we're supporting now that are going back to the UK or to Great Britain, a place that once was, great revivals, moves of God, and now it's just, they're going back to bring life, start churches. And the last thing is give. That's one of the, I think, in some ways, the simplest thing. In fact, I'd like everybody now, whether you plan to give or not, you might even be a guest with us, but I want to talk about this card, and then we're done, I promise. We just grab this card. It's in the seat in front of you. If everyone would just grab one of these, man, I'd be blessed. So, giving. Let me tell you what I want you to do with this card. Here at Pathway, every year at the last Sunday in February, typically, I encourage everyone to fill out one of these cards. And what does the Lord want to give through you to foreign and home missions? And just take a step. We have a budget that we set up now, and it says, how much we give to each missionary. And by what you commit to next week, then we can know. Can we increase our missionaries that we already support? Can we take on new missionaries and all those type of things? So this is all I want you to do. I'm not even asking you to fill this out. Don't do anything with it other than this. Would you take this with you today? And in response to this message today, in response to what we heard about mission of hope, and in response to the gospel and to the Acts chapter 1, verse 8 challenge to take it to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost ends of the earth, here it is. Would you pray this week, Lord, what would you want to give through us to home and foreign missions next year, over this next year? And then next week, I'm going to encourage you to fill this puppy out, and you'll rip it off, keep one half for you, the other half turn it in so that we can accumulate those and get that. But I just really want to encourage everyone to do something. This is what keeps the missionary on the field. If you're like, well, Scott, I like giving to special projects, thank you. Well, Scott, I like to give when the missionaries come through, thank you so much. But I'm just telling you, if you're only going to give to one thing when it comes to missions, I would rather you give faithfully, regularly here, because this money goes to keep the missionaries on the field. This money goes to keep the missionaries on the field so that they can stay in that nation and keep bringing the gospel and discipling people. And when they come through, they raise money for projects, whatever. Yes, we'll give to those. We'll raise money for those things. But this is the bread and butter. If they're not on the field through Faith Promise missions, regular missions giving like this, if they're not on the field, then they don't need any project money. Am I right? Because if they're not over there, they don't have any projects to do. Okay, so that's how important this is. So I just want you to pray and let's believe God. Worship team, would you come? Everyone.